hope is in the promises that you have made. For young and old to bow the knee and call your name. We'll rise and pray, we'll rise and pray. Oh Lord, we pray that you would send the laborers, for the harvest truly is awaiting gatherers. The world is dying without our deliverer. We'll rise and pray, we'll rise and pray. Till the whole world hears, till the whole world knows. We'll send us out where you would have us go. Till the lost world hears, till the last one knows. The grace of God, the love that you have shown. Till the whole world hears.
Good morning and welcome to the Santa Ponsa Community Church online service. This morning we're going to be looking at being solution-oriented, not easily giving up when we have when we are given responsibilities. I think together as a church, as we serve together, it's very important that we are not just overwhelmed by the mountains, but that we're able to trust the Lord through and realize that there are solutions to the things that are put before us. David with Goliath, he was able to look at it and Goliath and say, you know what, who is this guy, you know, who comes against the Lord of hosts? He was solution oriented, and that is what we want to cultivate, as well as looking at being enthusiastic, which means being full of God, full of the Spirit of God, our minds controlled, our hearts overwhelmed by his love, and our wills surrendered to him. So we pray that the message today will speak to your heart, and that you will become fruitful in the kingdom of God. God bless you.
Hey guys, so we just have a few announcements this week for the online service. Please have a look at the book that we're going to put on the screen and check it out. It's Spiritual Warfare by Brian Broderson. You can order it on Amazon or any good bookstore. I thoroughly encourage you to check it out. Another thing that we would like to say is if you're on this online service, please log on, say hello, and let yourself be known. It's a true blessing to us to know that people are fellowshipping and worshiping with us online, and it encourages us as we want to encourage you. And lastly, check out, if you look above, you'll see some links to YouTube and Facebook. Click on those and like and subscribe our pages, and that will help also. God bless you.
So we are looking at this this acronym that I'm getting to know better and better as we do this, because at the beginning I was like, what is that letter again? But we have the word FOCUS, the acronym FOCUS, and it is to be flexible, it is to be open, it is, what is it, a FOCUS, C, it's cooperative. U is to be understanding with the ways of God, understanding with being patient, understanding in people's lives. And today we come to the S, which is solution oriented. And the goal here is that we might have a culture, sort of, we know the Bible's our culture, we know the Bible, the truths of the Bible are the way that we walk, but in a sense to have a few of them there together that we can say, you know what, these things we want to focus on at the moment, no pun intended. But so today I'd like to look at, if we're going to function together as a church, as we relaunch, as we move forward in what God has for us as a church, we are going to have to be solution-oriented, right?
It's so necessary in life to have people around us and for us ourselves to be solution-oriented and not to be like sometimes we can tend to be, which is problem-oriented, you know? Hey, why don't we do this? Well, you know, it's because of this, it's because of this, it's because of this, it's because of that. It's just too hard. It's just too long. It just costs too much, or just I'm too cool for it. You know, sometimes the reality is that we can become problem focused instead of people that we can have a team that is solution oriented. You know, the truth is that sometimes when it comes to certain things, we can give up so easily. You know, with the kids. Hey, Arden, where are your glasses? I don't know. Go look for them. 3 seconds go by and he's already back. I can't find them. You know, it's just a give up mentality. There was one girl once, we've had so many experiences. I always tell the same stories, but I'll tell you what, it's because sometimes I just don't sit down to think about them because we have thousands upon thousands of stories of things that we've lived. But there was one girl that she came to visit here once, and then she's like, you know what, God's called me to be a missionary with you guys in Mallorca. And we're like, okay, well, cool, you know, and so come on over. And she's so... In the meantime, between the time of coming, of that she says she was going to come, and the actual taking of the flight, she fell in love. And she took her first flight to New York City. And when she got to New York City, she missed her next flight to Mallorca. And I was at the airport waiting for her to arrive, and we didn't, I don't even think I had a mobile phone at the time. Maybe I did, I'm not sure, but whether Loretta called me or whether I came home, and Loretta goes, she called while you were at the airport, she missed her flight, she's not coming anymore. I'm just like, she's not coming anymore. Yeah, she's not coming anymore. And I thought, imagine if she would have missed her flight for her wedding. Boy, she would have moved mountains to get over. You know what I mean? It would have been like, hey, excuse me, you made a mistake here. Or mom, dad, could you buy me another flight? It's my wedding! And sometimes when we're not motivated, really, we just can become problem finders. Sorry, I missed my flight. I'll never come. And in Acts 6, you see God doing a work, and you see how, if you turn there with me, look at Acts 6, there was a problem that came. So it's not wrong to bring up problems. It's not like we are to be naive about things. It's, you know, now we're doing the school, and we're looking at risk factors, and we're looking at numbers, and things look crazy sometimes. But it says... So it's not wrong to look at the problems, but the problem is sometimes we can get hung up on the problem. Now it says in Acts 6, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So you have these two situations where, one, the widows need to be taken care of, but then the apostles need to study. They need to rethink the Old Testament in the light of Jesus. And they have to give themselves to that in order to better educate the people that have been touched by God. So you have two difficulties here. If they leave the work of God, the people would not grow in the knowledge of God. But God commands us to love each other, so the widows have to be taken care of. And they bring up this problem. Now look what it says. Verse 3, therefore seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint to this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Spirit, and a bunch of other guys. And notice verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. So here a problem arose, but there was people with a mind to find solutions to the problem. And you know what? This is an absolute essential distinctive among us that we need to have if we're going to further serve the Lord together. And I don't mind hearing problems. But you know what? Sometimes I just don't like finding dead-end problems. It's like, no, okay, I understand that problem. But how do we move around it or beyond it or through it, whatever it takes? Now, of course, there's some things we can't. But there's some things we can. And I'll give you another example with the school. Sometimes this is like, we can't because it's the law. It's the law that we do it this way. And I don't like that. And I understand it's the law. And then all of a sudden, Ruth, this judge, this justice in the United States passed away. And we watch her documentary. And when she went to university, they told her, why have you come here to take a good man's place? And then she began to see that the law was flawed. And what she began to do, instead of protesting like her daughter was doing, which her daughter challenged her. Her daughter said, you know, at least in protesting, we're a movement. But you in the classroom, you're just a support group. But then what she did is she began to win case by case. She began to litigate and began to fight the things in court, and she changed the law so there would be equality in gender between man and woman. You see, the law was not good enough to stay that way. She saw the problem, but she saw solutions, and it was going to be legislation. And she's one of the most influential women in the United States this century. But she wasn't going to let problems get in the way. She was going to find solutions. And we need to find solutions for things. Nehemiah, he was moved by what was going on in Jerusalem. He was the cupbearer for Artaxerxes. And he's sitting there and he hears about what's going on in Jerusalem. And he hears the situation, how the people are distressed, how the walls are burned down, how the temple is not built. And he doesn't think, there's like, oh man, what a great problem. He prays. And he finds solutions. But the thing is that we sometimes can be a little bit like the Israelites or like Jonathan and Arden or like myself. We can give up so quickly. Yesterday, Arden was in the bathtub and he decided he's got a bunch of toys in a basket. And he decided to take every single one of those toys and dump them. And I'm like, wait, you're going to have a lot to pick up. And when it was time to pick him up, he's like, I said, Arden, pick him up. And he's like, Dad, can you help me? I said, yes, you pick them up and I'll help you. And I came into the bath and he's like, and I caught him saying, Dad, can you help me while he's playing, not picking them up? And I was like, get up! And pick them up. And he says to me, Dad, you're not being very nice to me. I was instantly convicted, you know. I was so convicted. But you know, it's just like lack of motivation. Just giving up easily. It's like Paul. I was talking to Paul and I told him that we took our pool down. We bought a little pool, 3.7 meters in diameter. And 200 euros. It was the best babysitter this summer. And I was talking to Paul about it, and Paul's like, well, you know, but the pine needles will fall on it. Oh, well, you know, there's not enough room in the garden. Well, you know, we don't have a soft surface. I'm like, Paul, if it was an iPad, you'd find all kinds of solutions for it. You know what I mean? It's just like, sometimes it just depends what is it that we want. But you know, to be people in a church together where we are going to not just find problems, but find solutions. And you know what? It's amazing. You would not believe the amount of problems that come our way. The music was too loud. The music was too low. I got a hearing aid. The coffee was this, and the coffee machine that, and the and you know what? At the end of the day, we need to be able to at least attempt to find solutions for. Be solution oriented. You see, the Apostle Paul was in prison when he wrote the letter to the Ephesians, and twice in the letter to the Ephesians, Paul prays and says, "I pray. I bow my knees before the Father." And I pray for you guys. And listen to this. Paul was imprisoned, was stopped by a malignant government, was put in bonds, and has made it and it was made impossible for him to go visit the Ephesians and to preach to them or to go anywhere else to preach. There is one thing that the enemy cannot do. And that is, he cannot prevent them from praying. He can still pray. The enemy can confine him to a cell. He can bolt and bar doors. He can chain him to soldiers. He can put bars in the windows. He can hem him in and confine him physically. But he can never obstruct the way from the heart to the humblest heart, of the humblest heart. To the heart of the eternal God. And here, the government is doing such bad things to the Apostle Paul, and he's not sitting there just looking at the chains. He says, my chains are in Christ. And he's able to pray for them. He finds solutions. He doesn't just pray for them, but he writes them a letter. He finds a solution. And we need to ask ourselves, are we solution seekers? You know, the culture of our life has to be one where we are solution finders. Solution oriented, better stated. But then we have, we have the S for focused, and then we have the E for enthusiastic, right? And enthusiastic comes from the word enthused. And you know what the word enthused means? It means to be full of God. Full of God. And you know what? Years ago, in London, and I think even when when I came here, but even as far as London, as far back as London, I remember thinking to myself, I do not want to be a cheerleader. You know, I don't want to be a motivational speaker in a church. This is the one thing that drives me bananas, where people come to church, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And we become cheerleaders. A pastor can be a cheerleader. I think a motivational speaker is great for a time and a place in our life. But we have to be careful to become addictive, to be motivated by messages or by exhortations. There has to be more in our life than that. You see, when I read the Bible, I realize that motivational speaking doesn't work. You're like, what do you mean? Well, when you look at Nehemiah, and when they read the Word of God, then all of a sudden the people were just so moved by it all. And they said, Lord, we are going to serve you. And Ezra said, the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. And it's all true, but there's a sense of motivation in it. And then the next few chapters, they're intermarrying with the pagans. Earlier than that, in the time of Joshua, in chapter 24 of Joshua. Remember, Joshua goes up to the people. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Look at the motivation there. Choose this day who you will serve. If you will serve the Lord, serve the Lord. But if you will serve the Baals, serve the Baals. You know, and they're like, no. And the famous, but I think it was either Caleb or Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And everybody's just motivated in that moment. Everybody just explodes with energy and motivation in that instance. And then the next book of the Bible is Judges, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Motivational speaking ultimately does not work. It might be a flame that gets sparked, but we have to be very careful. I don't want to be a cheerleader. You see, when I read the scriptures, there's more. There's an explanation of truth. In a sense, we begin to realize where we live, how to live, the consequences of living a certain way, the benefits of living another way, the great rescue that's been provided for us. So all of a sudden, we're not living by being pumped up week in and week out by motivational speaking. We're actually pumped up because we realize how wonderful Jesus is. How great history is. It's His story. We realize the past. We realize the future. So it is the very essence of truth. And the very presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives. That moves us. It is the explaining of truth. But there is also a work of the Spirit within. In the Bible, in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you to the disciples. Which is the word para, the paraclete. He is with you. But he shall be in you. And then he will come upon you. And what you see in the scriptures is a work of the Spirit of God in people's lives, where no longer do they have to be motivated from the outside. There is a fire. There is a torrent of water. There's a combination of the whole thing that moves a person. So no longer do they have to be cheered. They are the ones that are motivated. Yesterday, I was talking to someone on the phone, and the Presbyterian Church has this logo. I don't know if you can see it. It's very, very small, right? And it says, Ardens Sed Videns. Someone told me, obviously, because of Arden. And Ardens Sed Videns means burning, which is Arden anyway, you know? But not consumed. Or burning, but flourishing. You know, and you know, my own story, Loretta's own story. I remember when I went forward when it was in that tent in North Carolina, and I prayed to receive the Lord. And it was a little bit of a motivational speech. You know, I was a motivational speaker. But man, the guy told me about the battle for our souls, about the devil and about God and about just being able to come out on God's side. But there was a sense of a work of the Holy Spirit within. It was bigger than myself. And I remember just thinking, I need to go forward, but I don't want to go forward. And I prayed to receive the Lord. And next thing you know, there was a simple desire to read the Word. See, the Holy Spirit was with me. And then I began to read, and I could sense something happening on the inside. I no longer wanted to watch the movies I watched before, but what I did is I watched the Jesus movie 7 times, back to back. People will come over and say, let's watch a movie. I said, yes, let's watch the Jesus movie. And they would be like, oh. But they were watching it with me, and they were getting saved. Or they were recommitting their lives to the Lord. And next thing you know, I just sensed something's going on the inside. And I began to also borrow tapes. Remember, in those days, 25 years ago, it was tapes. It wasn't CDs or MP3s. And I would go with a backpack and maybe 20 tapes in my backpack. And I would keep switching them, have to flip them over, you know, and listen to the other half of the message. And something was happening in my heart. And next thing you know, I desired to go to Bible school. And then I went to Bible school. And I was at Bible school. They gave an opportunity for people to be filled with the Spirit. And I went forward. And there the Holy Spirit came upon my life. And there was a dynamic, there was a desire not only just to be a Christian, but now there was a passion to serve the Lord as a Christian. But you know what? There was no cheering. There was no cheering. There was no forcing. There was a fire within my heart. There was a blooming. There was a fountain that was being raised saying, Lord, I, who are you? And what do you want me to do? With Loretta was the same thing. I remember Loretta, she was the worst waitress you could ever have. Well, that's an exaggeration. But there was some Germans that came and they're like, what's ham? You know, they pointed at the menu, what's ham? And Loretta says, ham? She didn't know how to say it in German. So she goes, you know, that's ham, you know. And but she people would say something to her and she was like, just the glasses are dirty, because we had in Pizza Hut we had this dishwasher that just worked. And she's like, sorry, I told the manager they don't do anything, so I can't do anything about it. Something like that, you know. But it was just crazy. And you know, she was going through a horrific time, and she thought I was an angel. And then She went, there was a lot of things in between, but she went to Italy, came back New Year's Eve, and then on New Year's Day, she gave her life to the Lord. Now, I've been trying to convince her, to cheer her for probably a couple months for a year that I've known her in Pizza Hut. But man, in that moment, it was different. The Holy Spirit was grabbing a hold of her life. And next thing you know, I said, Loretta, you're a lovely girl, but one day you'll be on this side and I'll be on that side. Do you want help? The Lord's outside of your heart. And she says, yes. And she says that when she heard the Lord's outside of your heart, it melted her. It just melted her. And she prayed in Italian, Lord, come and live in my heart. And poor sweet girl, she thought she'd become a Christian because of me, because you know, she liked me, and she's like, oh, I did it because of you, Ralph. I'm not a Christian. And I'm like, no, something's going on. I would go to work, and I would come back. She'd be reading Judges. She's like, I read the whole book of Judges today. I never asked her to read a whole book of the Bible. It was something within that was happening. It was enthusiasm, but it wasn't just a self motivated enthusiasm. It was the very fullness of God inside of her. It was the Holy Spirit working in her life. I remember when I talked to her about giving to church, and she was like, I'm not giving my money to anybody. And I'm like, that's okay. You take your income, I'll take my income. And I was giving. And now, years later, she's like, Raph, have you given? Have you given? And it's just like, you know, it's just a taking over the life of service. I told her when we came to the church here, I told her, Loretta, you are my wife. You are not the pastor's wife. And I told the whole church that. I don't know if you remember that. But I was like, never do anything because people feel you're obliged to do it. Only do what God puts on your heart and do it faithfully. And you know what? I mean, she's a hard worker. And just by the fullness, a motivation. And you know what? When that happens, when the Holy Spirit and the truth of God begins to take hold of our lives, what happens is we ask two questions. Who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? How can I serve you? And you know what? The worst thing is when you're trying to convince people to do certain things every week. You know, you cannot possibly be there and motivate everybody all the time. It's wonderful when you see people that are motivated individually to serve God because they're directly connected to God. Then I want to ask you a question. Are you? Are you connected? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? And if you feel like, man, I don't know. Well, you know what? It's okay to say, I don't know. All you got to do is, Lord Jesus, you promised to give the Spirit to all who ask. Will you please give me your Holy Spirit? Will you please indwell my heart? Will you make me enthusiastic? Will you make me enthused? Now, I want to say this, because lest you think you have to become like somebody else, because sometimes we think enthusiasm looks like a very happy, clappy person. I'm just always happy. You know, and sometimes we sort of mixed enthusiasm with personality. But you can be full of conviction. You can be full of drive. You can be full of God, but it looks very differently with your own personality. We need to be God-motivated people, not being dragged or pushed, but rather just being eager. How can I be involved? You know, when I worked in the church in London, it's just crazy. It's like I was like the nerd at school, you know, with the apple for the teacher, or you know, when they ask a question, they always have their hands up, you know. It's like, how can I? I'll do it. And sometimes, of course, I got into places where I did it, and then I regret doing it. So I'm not saying that you always feel excited about everything all the time. But there was a sense that if you took the sum of the life, it was like, I really do, Lord, not for people. I really do want to give to you because you've given so much to me. Remember, the people that God chose, or that the church chose in Acts 6, were people that were full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. People that God had touched, motivated by God. And let me say this. Better to do little faithfully with solution-making, solution-oriented, and enthusiastically than trying to do everything and losing the enthusiasm and the ability to be dependable and the ability to find solutions, you know? But what does it mean more, a bit deeper, what does it mean to be enthusiastic, to be full of God? And there's three things that I want to look at besides sort of like the energetic, which is, you'll see it's combined with this. Number one, it means that our thinking is dominated by God and by the mind of God. So when you're full of God, your mind will be motivated. Your mind will be driven by the truth of God. The scriptures teach this. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You ever wonder what the will of God is? You know, sometimes we need to know what the will of God is practically. And as we walk in that practical will of God, for example, that God wants our lives changing, that God wants us loving Him, loving others, that God wants us to speak the truth with one another, that God loves wants us not to steal, but to be generous towards one another. When we walk in that revealed will of God, then all of a sudden that other will of God that is more ambiguous sort of comes to place. Lord, what have you called me to do? Where have you called me to serve? But that word transform is like when a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. It's not just something that you do by transforming. It's something that happens simultaneously. As you yield your life to the Word of God, as you yield your life to the Spirit of God, then you begin to be transformed in your mind. You begin to think differently. You know, your minds, and my mind, is never free. There's no such thing as free thought. The difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is that the non-Christian's mind is controlled by the world and the Christian by God. And the Christian is a person that is full of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 11. It says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet himself he is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct them? But we have the mind of Christ." And you know what? When Loretta first became a believer, she was doing a master's in feminism, English literature, but then part of it was feminism. And she actually dropped out. She all of a sudden had a passion to know the Bible and to grow as a Christian and to serve the Lord. And she dropped out of the master's program. But something that I thought was amazing was the reason why she dropped out. And I think this is similar to what happened to me, but I was never able to articulate it like that. She went up to the school and she said, "Could I get a refund?" And they said, "You can have a refund for the part of the semester that you haven't done." And she's like, "Oh, that would be great." And it was exactly the money that her dad had given her. And she was, her biggest concern, she wanted to be able to give that money back to her father if she dropped out. And it was exactly what they gave her. But then they said, "But why are you dropping out, may I ask?" And she said, "I've become a Christian now." And she's like, "Well, there's Christian feminist books." And she's like, "Yes, but I've become a Christian now and my viewpoint has changed. I just don't know what it is yet." Listen, guys, that is so powerful. And it almost sounds ignorant, but it isn't ignorant at all. Because at the end of the day, what you're doing is saying, "I have found the master professor. And I know that my heart has even changed, but I don't even know what that viewpoint is. And I just want to get grounded and grow." What is she saying? "I want my mind transformed so that I may know what the will of God is." Number two, a man full of God is a man whose emotions are under God. This man is full of God, is controlled by the love of God. We cease to be our own boss. Self goes out. And where love is, where the love, Paul says, the love of Christ constrains me. The love of God constrains me. It moves me. It drives me. Love itself is what drives me to do what I do. And listen, sometimes we have unmotivated people that need to be cheered over and over again because that's not there. That has to be cultivated. That has to be experienced even. But isn't it true that love cancels time? I mean, whenever you're looking at your watch and say, man, I've been serving the Lord 2 hours. Whenever we're like, okay, 5 minutes are up of reading. Did it. Now, tell me, who is the person that you like that grinds you the most? You have one of those? Somebody that grinds you the most? Now, tell me what it's like to spend 1 hour with them. How long does it feel like? My goodness. Feels like days. Now, tell me, who is the person that you love to be with most? Now, spend 1 hour with them. How long does it seem like? Seems like 2 minutes, doesn't it? It's already done? Oh my goodness. I can't believe it. What's the difference? The only difference is love. The only difference is love. When we love, it cancels time. But you know what? Love doesn't just cancel time. Love also does what? It energizes, doesn't it? Do something that you hate doing. I mean, I hate playing board games. And I got to bring myself to doing it because I think with the kids it's a great thing to be able to sit around a table and play games, except in our family because everyone's very competitive. So then we end up fighting. But I hate the board games, you know, and it's just like, and Loretta's like, oh, let's play a board game. And I'm just like, oh, and it's so difficult to get me motivated to do that because I just don't like it. Now, if I knew I was going to win, I might like it more, but I have a hard time with it. Now, tell me, hey, let's go eat at Santa Catalina, the sushi thing that's over there. All of a sudden, it's just like, I'm all energy. You know, all of a sudden, it's just like, let's go. I thought you'd never mention that. You know, and sometimes we can be so lethargic. And the problem is not that we need a cheerleader. The problem is the heart. When we love to do something or be with somebody, we love energizes. And so if you find yourself lethargic with the things of life and of knowing God, of growing, there's no condemnation. It's not something about saying, what a terror, there's good Christians and there's bad Christians. No, no, no. We're all loved the same. The thing is that what we need to be able to do and say, oh, Lord, you know what? My affections, I got deferred affections. I got disordinate affections. Can you please fix my heart? You know, just the other day, I was talking to Honor, and I don't want you to think I'm super, always open my Bible and there's doves flowing out. I mean, sometimes it's difficult, you know what I mean? It's just like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I just don't feel like reading. And then I put something on TV and I can vegetate, and it's just like, oh, this is so easy, you know? And it's like, it's just a reality. But you know what? I don't want to stop there. I don't want to just submit to that. I'm like, Lord, can we realign? And I was talking to Anwar, and I said, oh, I'm so tired. And I don't know what happened. I was just really tired the last few days. And I said, I'm just going to go to bed, and I'm going to read. And he said, I can't read when I'm tired. And I'm just like, yeah, but before I go to bed, I always like to read at least one verse so I can sleep on that. Even if it's one verse. You just sleep on that. And then he wrote me, and he's like, you know what? I did that last night because I always scroll through Facebook the last thing. And I thought, why sleep on that? Why not sleep on a verse? you know. But sometimes just to be able to take little steps and take little steps in prayer and saying, Lord, I want you to be the motivator and fill me with your spirit, readjust my life, create habits in my life where love will cancel time and love will energize. And lastly, number three, finally, the will is also controlled. When we're full of God, our will is also surrendered to God. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus didn't hold on to his rights, but he humbled himself. He put aside his own will and determined to do the will of his Father. In the garden, he said, Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, we have to be very careful. When the Bible says deny yourself, we have to be very careful because we are not Buddhist. We are not denying ourselves till there's none of us left. We are denying ourselves but living the very life of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We live life to the fullest. We enjoy our families. We enjoy God. We enjoy the views. We enjoy the food that he's created with gratefulness. But we don't live for those things merely. We surrender to what God has for us. Think about, can you imagine when Jesus looked at a sunset and was like, oh, I made that with my Father. You know, when you imagine when he ate the Last Supper, you know, or when he made the fish. I often wonder when he made the fish in the Sea of Galilee. Remember we were there? And can you imagine Jesus made them? I mean, how do you cook better than Jesus? He's perfect. He even probably got the best fish in the pond in the Sea of Galilee. I mean, after all, he knows them all. He's like, oh, I wonder which one's the ripest, you know? And it's the best meal. He probably enjoyed such great meals, but he didn't live for that. He had a mission. And his will was enraptured, swallowed up by the will of his Father. And Paul in Acts chapter 20 says, I know not the things that will happen to me in Jerusalem, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city that chains await me and tribulation await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace, or the grace of God. And Paul was just like, you know what? I only have one thing to live for is who are you, Jesus? And what is it that you want me to do? And everything else is secondary in life. And listen, this is a process. This is a place we're heading. But nevertheless, this is the place we should be heading. I have a really, really, really hard time when a married couple come up to me and say, we have different interests now. And because we have different interests now, we're going to separate. It's not about your interest. Loretta doesn't like climbing rocks like a goat. And yet she makes an effort. She comes with. I don't like to do certain things. I don't like to... Well, there's one thing I haven't done yet with her that she really wants me to do. I just can't see myself doing it, but I just can't dance salsa. I mean, can you imagine me dancing salsa? You know, it's just like, no, thank you. But the thing is like, you know what? To be honest, I think it's wonderful when we allow our wills to be swallowed in the will of somebody else and vice versa. Isn't it? When you find pleasure in giving pleasure to somebody else. When you're like, Loretta, what would you like to do? And then she tells you, I would love to go do this. And you're just like, oh, wow. And then you surprise her and you just that. And I get joy out of watching Jonathan's face light up, Arden's face light up, Loretta's face light up. So I deny myself out of love, but I get joy about what happens to them. Now, if Arden just looks out for himself and Jonathan just looks out for himself and Loretta looks out for himself, it's kind of ugly, isn't it? You become a family of just a bunch of selfish people. But when you get to the point where everybody finds pleasure in giving pleasure to the other, it is wonderful. That is what it looks like with God. He's got your back. He's got your back. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added onto you. He's got your back. And that's why Paul says we make it our aim to please him. So in this church, we want to be people that are flexible. We want to be people that are open with one another to give and to receive. That we are able to take changes in the flexibility if things don't go. Like right now with the masks, to be able to just go with the flow. To be able to be cooperative. We're not competing with one another. We're cooperating towards one goal. That is to please Jesus, to build his kingdom, what he's doing in whatever way. And we want to introduce people to Jesus. And we want to grow people in Jesus. And we want to equip people in Jesus. We want to be understanding if people are going through difficulties, if there's mental things going on, if things take longer than we think they should take. We want to have an understanding that we have the devil against us, that it's not going to be easy, that things don't always go the way we think they should go. We want to be understanding. We want to be solution-oriented. Where we're not just people that see problems, but we're able to see the problem clearly, but work and say, Lord, what do we do to find a solution to adapt? Look how we've adapted here to coronavirus. We had to find solutions. Get video equipment. Wear masks. Look at all the alcohol, all the different things that we put in place. Solution-oriented. Amazing. And then finally, to be enthusiastic, to be people that are full of God. What a great privilege, isn't it? That I'm not telling you, you have to be motivated by me, Raphael, and without me, you are nothing. No. Get to know Jesus. Get filled with the Spirit. Get to know his word. And get to a point where you are motivated by the very Spirit of God himself. That's the goal. That's where we want to go at together in a church. Father, thank you so much, Lord. And I pray just that. I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. That you will make us into people that are full of you. Enthusiastic. That our minds are governed by you. That our hearts, our affections are governed by you. And that our very wills are governed by you. We pray, Lord, that you would also that our wills would be surrendered to you, that we will find ourselves wanting to please you as we understand you in the scriptures, knowing, Lord, that you have your best intentions for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I must say that with Jonathan, it's a real challenge. I think Arden as well, but Arden not as much. With Jonathan, it is a real challenge for him to understand that we love him and that we have better plans for him that he could, at this point, that he could possibly have for himself. I'm not talking about we're choosing his career for him. I'm just talking about just our desires for him as he grows up and he wants to watch certain things and he wants to do certain things. It is really hard for him, and I think for all of us it was, to understand that we love him much more than he loves himself. And I think with God, sometimes we don't get that. That he has better desires for us than we could ever have for ourselves. So God bless you. And if you guys come up.
So we pray that the message spoke to you this morning. It is wonderful to realize that Christianity is not what we do for God, but actually that He has come to fill our hearts, to motivate us from within, to work out what He is working in. That to be full of God is to be burning and yet fruitful, flourishing. And it is wonderful to know that our minds can be filled with Him, our hearts can be filled with Him, and our wills can be surrendered to Him. And that causes us to be people that are able to see life differently. We're able to see solutions. We're able to be solution-oriented rather than fault finders. And so may God bless you this week. And may you find yourself not necessarily being cheered and motivated, but may you find yourself under the conviction and the moving and the impulses of the Holy Spirit in your life. God bless you.
Capture my heart, I surrender my will. Focus my mind till I'm yielded and still. Hearing your voice to answer your call. Carried away till I can't speak. Carry me away.